This is a podcast from creativeradio.com. People in the Channel Islands are celebrating the 70th anniversary of their liberation from the occupying Nazi forces in 1945. The Channel Islands were occupied by Nazi Germany for most of the Second World War, between the 30th of June 1940 and their liberation on the 9th of May today, 1945. Life under Nazi rule during the occupation of the Channel Islands was harsh. A curfew was imposed between the hours of 11 p.m. and 5 a.m, and ID cards had to be carried. The sale of spirits was banned. Later, Wallaces were banned, and all British-born islanders were deported to Germany. A register of Jewish people was created, and all Jewish business had to publicly identify themselves. Some were deported to concentration camps. Cars were requisitioned and the Germans controlled the food grown by farmers and caught by fishermen. Anyone caught trying to escape to Britain was imprisoned or shot, if they didn't drown. Four concentration camps were built on Alderney, the only ones on British territory. Alderney became the most heavily fortified of the islands, built by slave labour. One of the few slave labour workers to escape was Ted Misvicic.
Ended up at Alderney, segregated into groups and went to your appropriate designated camp.
What sort of work were you doing?
I started initially in the quarry. As I say, I was the interpreter for a little while. I started doing work on West Battery fortifications, bunkers, you know. Each bunker for gun, well, naval guns, you know, firing 20 miles or something, you know.
Can you describe the sort of conditions that you were being kept in?
Conditions were... were such that you could not survive for long. It was calculated that way, because Germans' view was that if you survive 6 months, you were expendable. You know, they didn't want you anymore. They bring new labor in, if necessary, and therefore the food and everything went. Food was very bad, and obviously you starved. But you tried to do something. For instance, you went. I used to go and pick this conical things of the rocks, what we call crustaceans, you know.
Oh right, yeah, limpets.
That's right. Yeah. You know, and that you chew for 3 days, and still you you manage. But it's brutality. That's really the beating ups, you know. Because if you starve, then you on top of beating, somebody knocks you over and hurts you very much. You become to a state where you cannot improve. You know, there is no way back. You slide it down all the time, you know, because you're more hungry, and because you're more hungry, because you're weaker, you are beaten more. Because you can't walk fast enough, you can't use the spade properly. So all the time, you know. And that's how people died.
You made the decision to try and escape before you got past that point where you could make that decision.
It was a spontaneous decision. Particularly what prompted me was that when you started concreting, pouring the concrete in England, I'm an architect, in England you have a day work joint. You finish at 5:30, whatever, that's it, and you start again. In German, you had to go right up. You know, there's no day work joint. So you concrete for, say, 2 days and one night, non-stop. And it's raining all the time and cold, you know. And you have half hour every so often for a bit of soup, and that's all. We came to the camp. I was in Zill that time. We came to the camp, and about 12 or 15 people, I don't remember exactly now, next morning didn't get up. And some close friends, you know, died. So I just weighed it up, the chances, you know. what's the difference whether you die there or whether you're doing something, you know? And then I went over the wires with some help. You know, they would look out to see SS away and dogs are being fed and so on. And I went back to the camp to see the interpreter that helped me before. That, you know, really, when I was swollen from starvation and he helped me, he wasn't there, you know, which was a really shock, you know, because what do you do next? You know, I thought he would help me. I don't know, I don't think he would help me then, but, you know, I hoped that was the only thing. I started hiding, you see. People helped me in the camps, you know, I went for a couple of weeks, slept on the loft, you know, above the ceiling, and, you know, and eventually I met this Belgian who worked in the harbor, and he said that a transport of sick prisoners will be transported to France, be at in the harbor at certain time. He may try to smuggle me aboard.
Because there were only Germans and the workers on the island at that time.
Yeah, that's right, you know. And so I was there, and he noticed me, and he came to me and said, "No way, you know, but hang on, you know." So I was hanging on, and then he came, he said, "One of them died. This is the name." So I waited for the name to be called, and I just limped aboard and got to Cherbourg, jumped off the boat. It was lucky, you know, sometimes it's between pier and the top of the boat, but it was just, the tide was such, it was about 6 feet, so I just jumped down on the pier, walked to the, and also it was still dark in the morning, I walked to the gate, there were two German guards, they told, you know, I was dressed as a Frenchman, you know, sort of with berets and so on, said, "Bonjour, monsieur," they said, "Bonjour," and I walked through, and that was it, I was in France.
That recording was taken from the partially digitized independent radio LBC archive. The nation's sound collections are under threat, both from physical degradation and as the means of playing them disappears from production. Archival consensus internationally is that we have approximately 15 years in which to save our sound collections by digitizing them before they become unreadable and effectively lost. The British Library is home to the nation's sound archive, an extraordinary collection of over 6.5 million recordings of speech, music, wildlife and the environment from the 1880s to the present day. It also houses the complete IRN-LBC archive that has only partially been digitised. If you want to help the British Library save our sounds, please go to bl.uk and search Save Our Sounds. This has been a podcast from creativeradio.com. Find out more about media training at creativeradio.com. Thanks for listening.